So now the program you're making at the moment, or that we're about to hear on Radio 4, Reasons to Be Cheerful, is one that you've made with Loftus. But you've also made some other programs lately for Radio 4.
Very much so. I've just finished doing a couple of episodes of Jeremy Hardy Speaks to the Nation, which is very, very good fun. A very good reason to be cheerful whenever that phone call comes in. So I've done about five or six series with Jeremy. So we're far too familiar with each other on radio, which is great fun. And he's just a genius. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And I think the great thing about his show is he gets the space to kind of develop his arguments, which are always... it just get funnier, and I think much more nearer his true personality, which is not quite as grumpy as you might think from maybe things like the News Quiz. So yeah, just been doing that. We've just finished. as a producer, I produced Baggage for Radio 4, which has been a huge success for us and Absolutely Productions. And we're just about to go into production with two new series in the new year, at the end of this year and in the new year. So yes, we're doing quite a lot of stuff on radio at the moment. And as I say, this is just an interesting thing. Although you're made to work pretty hard on Reasons to Be Cheerful, because you've got to work it all out. It's not that great idea in television, but you normally just some little researcher comes in and says, this is, there you are, Mr. Kennedy, go and do that. It's, and what are you going to say about this now? And it made me think, but that's good.
Research, but you don't have to write a script.
No, well, I mean, I do, because I like to write the things I'm going to say, but they very much map out the programme editorially for you, of course. So that's I wouldn't be able to do that. But I tended to rewrite everything and make it in my own rather long and tortuous way of saying things, which may not be good for the show. I don't know, but they were very nice about it, and I hope it all stays in.
So the process was, you sat down and you said, these are the things that I'm yes. interested in.
Yes.
I'm really interested because of my background in sport and in this.
Exactly. And then they would go away and say, right, well, we've found these people. We think this is a good, this is a good editorial line. And I would talk about it. So, for instance, sport, I started from the premise that that everyone thinks that Scots are miserable and Scottish sports fans are even more miserable. And I said, well, no, they are the most optimistic people in the world. Otherwise, they wouldn't come back. You know, that's the point. And so that, from that sort of prose, then we went on into team sports and how, socially and culturally and in terms of, forming, helping to inform young people how to behave, it's a great kind of thing. So, and it all tied in with all sorts of stuff that I do, as did the cycling and as did the nanotechnology as well. It all just had little aspects of my life, which were, so in a sense, it's quite easy for me because I kind of really wanted to do them. It's not like somebody saying, well, you've got to be interesting about Heather for the next 20 minutes, because I couldn't be, but I can talk till the cows come home about sports and stuff.
So you've been keeping up with nanotechnology then?
On and off, yeah. I do occasionally go onto the internet. It's just because the spark of it all was the Fantastic Journey, and I think that was something that we discussed, and myself and Martin, who was helping with all the research, we both happened upon and started talking about. I don't know if that was the original idea that I got, but that was something that captured my imagination when I was a little kid.
Fantastic Journey.
It's the little
tiny submarine.
It's the tiny submarine that goes in to save this person who's going to save the world, and if they don't save him, the world is destroyed.
Raquel Welch.
Yes. Hugely impressive jumpsuit, which I'm sure was early use of nanotechnology in all sorts of ways. So it was just taking that idea and the idea that it's just occasionally you just see articles in the paper, and I do like occasionally reading the science pages and stuff, and because I did a lot of science at school and I never really did it afterwards, so it's always I'm slightly frustrated scientist in a way. So I love dipping into these things, as you can do, and nanotech, just the idea that machines are now at an atomic level, which is basically the professor gave a great example of the iPad, which now uses transistors which are 15 nanometers wide, and each nanometer is about 3 atoms. So these transistors are 50 atoms, is all that it takes to make this electrical component. Stuff like that, which I just find mind-blowing, and the applications of all that. And the fact that, by and large, the vast majority of nanotechnology is a force of good, so it helps with getting the sun's electrical power, it helps with filtering water in countries where they can't have electricity to pump things, all that sort of stuff. And I just think that's great. And it's not as sexy as gene manipulation. Do you know what I mean? It's not as sexy as creating life. So what people do is they it doesn't get much publicity. So I was really pleased I was able to do that.
I'm getting the sense. Kind of what we'll do now is,
yeah.
Are you recording?